Good morning, Faithbridge Church. This is a little bit different, I have to admit. Not really what we expected, not what we really were talking about even up to Friday. But we'll explain more about the decision process as we progress in the service today. Just want to affirm that the service isn't about the virus. It's about the Almighty God, the one who rules the universe. And that's where our focus is going to be this morning. And to that end, let's open with prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you are alive and active in our world, that we have the joy and privilege to access your throne of grace, whether we're assembled together or whether we're meeting through video format. We just are thankful that there is a community of people that love you and that we are privileged to be part of that. And we just ask your blessings on the time as we share this morning and upon all those that are listening in. So we yield the time to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Keeping safe social distancing this morning as per the protocol. Good morning, Faith. It's just a delight to be with you. This is not, again, how we envisioned this Sunday to go, but, you know, we want to be responsible and take every precaution that we can in an effort to comply with what the authorities have not necessarily mandated, but suggested, and we want to do that. But as we go throughout this morning, we want to turn to a bigger word than what we're hearing out there. And so I want to invite you, as we start this morning, to turn, if you have your Bibles, which you're all at home, so you should have your Bibles, to Psalm 103. And that'll kind of be setting the tone for this morning. Psalm 103 is a psalm of David, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. It begins with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all." And I think that verse, verse 19 of Psalm 103, is especially pertinent and relevant to where we are today, that the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. To me, and what I think David is saying, is that God is sovereign over all the earth. So the coronavirus, COVID-19, all of these things that we're going through as globally, really, is not a surprise to the Lord at all. And because it's not a surprise to the Lord, it shouldn't cause us to be afraid or cause us to have anxiety. But our trust is in a sovereign God who rules and who has established his throne forever and rules over all. So kind of want to touch on a few things. One of those is, why aren't we gathering this morning? I think that's probably a question that is running through. Now, we've done our best to communicate through our social media, on Facebook, through email. But I'm sure in most of our minds is, why aren't we gathering? Aren't we removed from this virus? Are we maybe overreacting a bit? And I just want to encourage us from Galatians. And when Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, in verse 13, Paul writes this. He says, "You were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so it's not out of fear, it's not out of anxiety that we're not gathered this morning, but it's actually out of a deep love for others that we're not gathering, because we don't want to unnecessarily expose people or put people at risk that are vulnerable to this pandemic that's been declared. And so another thing that I want us to keep in mind is that church isn't necessarily a place where we go, but rather the church is who we are as the members of the body of Christ. And so the church is who we are, whether we're gathered together in this space on a Sunday morning, or whether we are scattered into our homes and we're participating through live stream. We are the church. And so even though you may not physically be present, you're present with us through the medium of technology, which is amazing, and we can have church together. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Now, personally, one of the challenges that I'm facing with this is that our lives have been disrupted, and it's majorly inconvenient to not gather together. You know, and I'm personally not the type of person who likes any of my life to be disrupted or inconvenienced. But I have to keep in mind, and I encourage you and challenge you in this way, if you feel like me, that it's not about me. It's not. It's not about me. I should honor the needs and concerns of others above my perceived inconvenience, and I would challenge us all to do the same. And that as we approach this, that we would approach this prayerfully, that we would approach this humbly, that we would approach this gracefully, and that we would show mercy. In fact, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 7, Jesus says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." And so, as we look to the future, as this coronavirus, as this thing unfolds and develops day in and day out, we don't want to give in to hysteria or panic, but we also want to be reasonable and sensible. And so one of the things, another question is, what should we prepare for? Well, the truth is we don't really know what to prepare for. However, we can rest in the sovereignty of God, and we don't need to fear. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, bear with me while I turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 is, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. In that, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." And so we don't want fear to be our motivation. We want love to be our motivation. And then additionally, we don't need to worry as we look to the future of how this disease or this virus develops in time. Because Paul also reminds us in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone, for the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." And so as we look to the future, as we are not driven by fear, we're not driven by anxiety, but we're driven by love, we want to be proactive and take decisive next steps moving forward. But it also, this presents an opportunity for us that we can love one another and put the needs and health of others before ourselves. And so what I would encourage all of us to look for opportunities to serve each other, especially those who are most vulnerable. And I'm going to pass the baton to Pastor Ken for a moment, and then we're going to circle back and talk about some next steps.
2 Timothy 1:7, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." Just want to take you on a little journey as we've reached this point. I mean, we've taken measures here at FaithBridge before. We've taken measures where we've gone to fist bumps instead of shaking hands and high flu season things. This is just a little more extreme. And so Friday I was in Fargo, actually. I was unplugged. I wasn't online. I had my telephone ringer off. And mid-afternoon, I checked my phone, and there were messages piled up. There were texts. There was email. All kinds of stuff, because I hadn't been aware of what the governor had encouraged. Twofold part of the health department recommendations. One is groups over 250 not gather, but the second is that groups of that there shouldn't be larger groups than 10 of people that would be in the vulnerable category. And so I just kind of was able to shadow a little bit of the interactions between the leadership of the church. Officially, though, we were going to do it in a ceremony today, mm-hmm. in the things we had planned, turning over the baton or transferring leadership formally. That really has taken place. It took place last week. And so I was given the privilege of kind of shadowing the interaction, but wasn't a primary player. And I was just so encouraged by our leadership. Just want to give them this plug that, you know, there was a lot of difference of opinions as people weighed in on what they had a sense of where we should go. And there was certainly the influence from the governor's recommendation and our desire to submit to the government and the governing authorities. There was also a lot of interesting interaction of you know, we go forward, why would we be afraid of something that's in the metro? Mm-hmm. We're so far distant from it. And when I work with boards, church boards, one of the defaults I have is that when there's a difference of opinion, I encourage the board to just stand down and go into the presence of God and allow Him to just direct the hearts. And so I was really blessed. Jeff, I was encouraged several ways through that whole process. But Jeff wrote, "Let us not neglect to seek God's perspective through prayer. Perhaps it would be wise for us to commit tonight to prayer to reevaluate and then reevaluate tomorrow." So I was blessed to read that, because that just echoed, that's part of my heart, step into God's presence. We are charged with being able to process things with the wisdom God has given us, but it's still under the authority and direction of God through His Holy Spirit. The second reason I was blessed was it reminded me that it was only Friday. So all this discussion was going on, and I was actually starting to feel a bit of stress, even though I wasn't in the primary loop, because we had certainly a lot planned for today, a lot of good things and encouraging things. But I was thinking, oh, we got to get this decision made right away. And then I appreciated there was an extra day. So that was a good thing. But by Saturday morning, God had clearly drawn the leadership board into a unified decision. Jeff and I talked on Saturday morning, and we were like-minded in two areas. One is, in our very heart, we wanted to press ahead. Mm-hmm. Our desire was to be with the body and to celebrate and to worship, and what a joy that is. But as we continued to process information as it came in and processed with the board, it just became apparent that God was directing us to pull back. Mm-hmm. And we can't fully explain the details as to why. We can say with confidence that we went before God in prayer. It wasn't a panic thing. We weren't out like so many people looking for toilet paper. It was being in God's presence. And just to let you know that we've received a fair amount of affirmation from those members of the FaithBridge body that are part of the medical community. They have just said that this is a good choice. We don't realize, understand how big this could be or how expansive, but as Jeff shared, our desire is to use good measures, prudent judgment, to protect others and to serve others. And so we went to this alternative. But it wasn't just a unified board decision. There was also a peace. Mm-hmm. It was the peace that comes from God answering prayer, and the confidence that when we poise the question to God, this is your church, this is your call, how would you direct us? I believe, and I can state with confidence, that this is how He directed us. Mm-hmm. We don't fully understand the whys, And maybe we never will understand all the whys, but we still believe that God is sovereign. Absolutely. And at work. There's Psalm 46 that I just want to point to real quickly. I won't read it all, but like a lot of psalms, there's a, because it's poetry, there's a rhythm to it. And three times in the psalm, there's a theme that comes out. Verse 1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And then in verse 7, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And then it ends, the Lord God, Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And tucked in between those three pieces of rhythm are verses such as, we will not fear, though the earth give away, though the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, you know, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. And then it focuses on the city of God, Zion, and God's sovereign rule. And it ends with, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And we can take great confidence in that. Another, it's Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, simply says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And that stands unwavering. And as an encouragement to body of Christ that is assembled across Park Rapids and wherever else that's with us this morning, one thing I could encourage you to do is maybe go into Psalm 46 and spend some time just reading through and meditating on it. And it wouldn't be a bad thing to memorize some of the verses from Psalm 46, because it tethers us back to where we need to be. Mm-hmm. I've often said that the antidote for anxiety is thanksgiving. That comes out of Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8, as we're encouraged to put everything before God with prayer and thanksgiving. The antidote for fear is worship. Mm-hmm. It is to be in the presence of the Almighty God and to just know that he is at work and he is in control, and that as a baby trusts in their caregivers, its mother or father, we so by that childlike faith can trust in the Almighty God. And that's not to be not to take us away from making prudent, you know, I'm washing my hands a little more frequently. I'm aware of my surroundings. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to cocoon. I'm not going to hide under a bed because of the virus. I still have a commission to be invested in ministry and the lives of others in one form or another. And that's true for Pastor Jeff. Mm-hmm. That's true for all of us as believers. But I was with my grandson yesterday. He's got a bit of a cold, and I took extra precautions to wash my hands before I ate and things like that, because I don't want to catch the cold. And certainly there's wisdom in things like that. I want to encourage you with one other text, and that's from 1 Peter 5, 7. And it simply says, cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. And that is the reason we cast our anxieties upon him. That's the reason that we trust, is because we know that he cares for us. Mm. And he is committed to our best. He is committed to investing in us, to mature us into Christ-likeness. And even through times like this and circumstances, even as we sit here, it's just unique. You think it's unique hearing us through video. It's really unique for us to be sitting in front of an empty auditorium speaking to a bunch of empty chairs. But even in these circumstances, and God is the sovereign God, and our heart is drawn to give him praise and worship and to just continue to hold in faith his work for us. And Jeff, I know that the leadership, there's been good dialogue. Mm-hmm. You don't have a plan in place yet, but you have a plan to move towards that.
Yes, thanks, Pastor Ken. So just to maybe ease some concerns, leadership is meeting this afternoon to discuss next steps and to have good dialogue and think proactively long-term, not just the short-term for this morning, but what does the remainder of the week as far as our programming and events go? What does that look like? I understand that the governor of Minnesota has canceled or has made the decision to close schools as of Wednesday this week. And so we want to follow suit in that and be wise. And so please be on the lookout for communication that should come out later this evening regarding what our decision will be moving forward as to events and programs that are a part of the life and the rhythm of faith during the week. No decision has yet been made regarding next Sunday. That will be reached tonight, but we are going to do our very best to communicate to you so that you are as up to speed with us as we can. As was mentioned earlier, you know, things change almost moment by moment, it seems. And so we would just ask for your prayer, your patience with us as we navigate these really difficult and challenging waters, because we're not sure what the future holds. We know who holds the future, and that's where our confidence is. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, is for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And so during these trying times where our lives are disrupted and inconvenienced, I would just challenge all of us to model love and self-control, that we would be overly gracious to one another, that we would go out of our way, like Ken said, to do what's reasonable, wash our hands, and if we're not feeling well, let's just stay home and not cause any undue stress. But also, I don't think need to stock up on toilet paper or hand sanitizer if it's any available at all, because I don't think that's a proper response as believers. But if we, out of our excess, we should share with those who don't have as much. Perhaps that's a practical tip. One of the things that we look forward to, my wife and I and my family, moving from California to Minnesota this week, that we wanted to share with the church body, were these lemons. You know, and we've heard the adage, when life hands you lemons, make lemonade, right? Well, we also came up with a saying that life just is not as sweet without the sour. And so it was our desire and our intention to invite everyone this morning, had things gone as planned, to take home a lemon from, actually harvested from our lemon trees out of our backyard in our home in Reading. And so that's an invitation that I would like to extend to everyone. One of the things that I want to inform you is that the church office will be open this week. We'll have normal office operations. So if you're in town or you want to, you know, swing by the office and grab a lemon and a card, I want to invite you to do so, because if you don't, then they're going to go bad, and that wouldn't be good either. So, Pastor Ken.
We think the church office will be open all week. We will post that. We expect to have normal operations. As I said, the board will be getting together and prayerfully walking through things later today. Just from my perspective, I just want to encourage you, as Pastor Jeff has said, you know, if you're not feeling well, stay in. I remember it was probably a little over a year ago, I was involved in a service where the pastor had been sick, and he got on the stage and he was coughing and hacking, and I do that too sometimes, but it's more some congestion inside. But he had been recovering from a serious flu, and I was really tempted to just say, are you just not understanding the potential impact of you being macho and showing that you can tough it out even though you've got the flu, and yet here you're amongst all your people. And there needs to be a greater consideration. I mean, I've gone through that stage where I just wanted to tough it out and show that I could survive even though I'm sick. And now I appreciate, not just in light of this virus, I appreciate more the impact of my choices on others. Mm-hmm. And as a Christian, I'm more called to care for others than to prove that I can make it out even though I'm not feeling well. Mm-hmm. Just I've interacted with Pastor Jeff here last couple days, with a smirk on my face, he wasn't able to see it because we were talking on the phone, but Pastor Jeff, I just want to say, as I have been following the strings of the email and things, I just want to commend you for your leadership and stepping up.
Thank you.
And as I had mentioned earlier, just to step in and say, let's pause, let's get in God's presence. That reflects well on you. That reflects well on your faith.
Thank you.
And I just want to assure the people at Faith Bridge, I mean, I'm still in the community and still available, and certainly want to encourage the board any way I can. But the ministry is really going forward well. And with Pastor Jeff and the leadership, there is a high level of capability and a high level of trust in God and ability to go into his presence. So just wanted to give you that encouragement. To me, it is very disappointing. We had a great day planned, and I had a big part of being able to plan, you know, kind of the transition Sunday, and we had the welcome program coming in, and for the combined service, one of the things that kind of sad that it didn't go forward, because I did something that I've never done in a church before. I had something planned that's unique that I've never done. And that is, for the song selection, I picked out my favorites. There were three songs that are dear to my heart. And part of setting up my goal for the combined service was to have surprises for everyone. I had some surprises planned for you, Jeff, and your wife, Jessica, and the family. I had a special surprise for the congregation. And that is, I was going to introduce the songs and maybe frighten you with the idea that maybe I was going to lead those. But I was going to turn it over to a guest worship leader, and that would have been Pastor Jeff. And that was just a fun surprise that I had in store. Anyway, one of the songs that was on my list is a song called In Christ Alone. It was a song that we used for my mom's funeral. And it's one of the reasons that it's so precious to me is it just encompasses the whole message of Christ and Christ in us, from his birth to his death to his resurrection and the hope we have as Christians. And the last stanza is just, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to the final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand. And that's just an encouragement as we kind of close out our service today, that in Christ alone, we stand in him. He is our confidence. He is the base of our faith. And from that, we can draw great peace. So Pastor Jeff is actually going to lead us in that song, lead the congregation of one.
Well, I would encourage you wherever you are. You don't need to stand. You could if you would like to. I wouldn't know if you weren't. But I think this song is appropriate given our circumstances and the situation. So would you join me as we sing In Christ Alone? In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save.
Again, and
the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll live. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Father God, we thank you for this morning. And yes, Lord, it is completely unconventional and not what we expected, Lord. Our hope is firmly rooted in you, Lord Jesus, your death, your burial, your resurrection. Lord, you command our destiny. Lord, you know every day that's been appointed to us, Lord, virus or no virus. But Lord, we want to commit this time to you. We want to commit this week to you. God, we just pray for our leadership at Faith. We pray for the leadership of the state and community leaders. We pray for national leadership, Lord. We pray for the medical community as they navigate, Lord, this virus and what to do. Lord, we just pray that God, that by your Holy Spirit, you would superintend all of that for your glory. And that, Lord, as the body of Christ scattered in our homes and in our community, that, Lord, we would be a reflection of you, and that we would be proactive, and that, Lord, that we would be motivated by our love for each other and our love for those who do not yet know you. God, may you receive all the glory in us and through us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the service. Blessings to you. And let me just finish with a word of prayer as well. And Father, we beg your mercy. We don't deserve it, but you are the one that can stem the flow of the virus. The human efforts fall subject to you. And we just ask that you would grant that mercy. Yes, I also ask, Father, that you would give Pastor Jeff and the board wisdom as they seek your face, that they would hear your voice and hear it clearly,
yes,
and that it would come with just extraordinary measure of peace, and that they would boldly step forward based on your direction, that they would be bold in their faith and their leadership. Yes. And we just still see your hand at work, mm-hmm, and have confidence that you have good things planned for us this day and in the future. And so we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.